Welcome to the Bridge International Church, an English-speaking church located in the western suburbs of Paris. Here at the Bridge, we are committed to helping you to discover God's plan for your life, relate to others, grow in your relationship with God, and experience life in the freedom of Christ. Join us as we listen to this week's message from the Bridge.
Today is not going to be a part of a series, but I wanted to kind of share my heart with you today on this last day of the year. And the last day of the year is always reflective for me. I'm kind of a nerd in that I spend the last day of the year making goals for the next year and kind of analyzing, did I hit my goals from the previous year? And a lot of us today might be thinking about what 2017 held for us. Maybe there were things that happened this year that caused great celebration in our lives. Maybe we hit a milestone or we hit a goal. Maybe we graduated from university or had a baby or two babies at once. But for some of us, 2017 held moments of great joy. And as we look back over this year, we're just filled with gratitude. And for others of us, 2017, we're going to be glad to leave it behind. For some of us, 2017 held some pain or some difficult situations. Maybe in 2017, there were personal failures for you, and you made bad choices or you failed yourself in some way. But the beautiful thing about the rhythms that God creates in our lives is that there's always the hope of a fresh start. Every morning when we wake up, we open our eyes and we have a fresh day ahead of us, a fresh start every day. And every week when Monday rolls around, even though some of us might hate Mondays, it's a fresh start. And I know it's a fresh start because every time I start a diet, I start it on a Monday. You can't start a diet on a Thursday. You know what I'm saying? There's something about a Monday that's a fresh start. And then you have the first day of the month and it's a fresh start. But the first day of the year, that's when we really have hope that things are going to be different in the coming year. And we have a lot of excitement and maybe a new chance to achieve some personal goals in our lives. So as we walk into the new year, a lot of us maybe have goals or resolutions or aspirations in the new year. Maybe we have plans for the health of our bodies. We want healthier bodies this year. Maybe some of us have academic goals and we're going to go back to university or graduate from university. Or maybe we have, maybe Bridge Kids, if you're in here, you're like, this year I'm going to do an awesome job at obeying my mom and dad, or I'm going to do all my homework. I know how that one goes. I hear some parents nudging their kids. But my interest in your life is that I want to see each one of you achieve spiritual growth in your lives this year. And growth looks different than all of us, but I believe that all of us can grow in our relationship with God in the coming year. And so the verse I want to share with you today is from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. We'll have it on the screen here, but if you'd like to pull it up on your phone so that you can look back at it later. This is a verse, a segment that the Apostle Paul wrote in instruction to the church in Ephesus. And Paul said this. Paul said, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets," there's some big words here, kids, but I'm going to explain these big words to you. "Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." So today we're going to move through this scripture. We're just going to break it down verse by verse to figure out what Paul is saying here. And I'll be honest with you, this verse is really important to me because of what I feel like God has given me as a focus for 2018. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in a bit. But I believe that for the coming year, God has given me something to focus on in my own spiritual life and also as the leader of this church. I believe that God has spoken to me about where he wants this church to go in 2018. And I'll share that with you toward the end of the message today. So we're going to jump in from verse 11. And verses 11 and 12 share with us that Christ has a role for each of us to play as part of the kingdom. It says again, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up." So I want to start by defining those first five roles. And these are called a lot of times the fivefold ministry gifts. And what that means is these are the gifts that Jesus has given each of us as part of the church. And fivefold means they all work together to accomplish the purpose of the gospel. If you have one without the other ones, there's going to be something missing in the work of the gospel. So here's what these mean. Apostles are a person sent with a specific message for a specific purpose. I like to think of apostles as fire starters. Paul was an apostle because he went from city to city and he started churches, he started movements, and then he left. So Paul would kind of go and start fires in different places, and he didn't stay to tend the fire, but he got the work going. So a lot of times people who are called to be missionaries also have the heart of an apostle. And Alexi is here today. Alexi, would you wave? Alexi is our very first homegrown Bridge missionary. So Alexi, yeah, you can clap for that. That's awesome. So Alexi and his team travel around and they share the gospel with rock concerts, correct? Rock concerts. Alexi has the look for that. I don't really have the look for that. I don't know what happened. But they go, they share the gospel, and then they leave and go somewhere else. They're fire starters. So apostles are people that do that. The next role that Paul mentions is the role of prophets. Now, we can start getting a little like nervous around the word prophet because for some of us, the gift of prophecy has been abused in our lives. And for some of us, maybe someone came to us and said, "I have a word from the Lord for you," and that gift was abused in our lives. But Paul and Jesus are both clear that prophecy is a ministry of the Holy Spirit. So people who are prophets often have an extra sensitivity toward the heart of God. Many times the prophets in the Old Testament would share warnings with people, and they would say, "God's judgment is going to come on you." But it's important to note that when the prophets did this, it grieved their heart to share warnings. So if you consider yourself a prophet and you love to tell people how they're going to be judged, that's not really what God intended that gift to be. Or maybe you have... you just understand the vision of God or the heart of God, and you know where God wants to take things. And two people I know that have a very strong gift of prophecy, one is Lindsay, here in the front row, our kids director. Oh, you were already up here. And the other is Nathan Champouillon, right over here. Nathan has like a really strong prophecy gift, and he tries to you know, keep it under wraps. But if you have questions about this, these are two people that would be great for you to talk to. And I know, kids, if you're in here, this doesn't start when you're a grown-up. Because do they call you Miss Lindsay or like Dr. Williams or Dr. Williams? Because I know that when Miss Lindsay was a little kid, she could understand the heart of God. And she knew what God wanted to say to her. And sometimes she could even see angels, even when she was a little kid. So this stuff doesn't start when you're a grown-up. The third role that Paul talks about is evangelists. The gift of evangelism is when you are really good at telling people about Jesus. For some of us, it's hard and we don't know what to say, but if you have the gift of evangelism, you just know how to get to it. One of these is Gordon. Gordon is crazy. Gordon is like, "I just walk up to someone on the street who's carrying a chicken," and I'm like, "Oh, there's a chicken. Did you know that Jesus, there were chickens when Jesus, I don't know." Gordon, it really has the gift of evangelism. He has a gift of bringing up the subject of Jesus with people. And another person I know who has the gift of evangelism is Liliana Temple. Liliana, can you wave? Because Liliana went to her friends at school and she said, do you know who Jesus is? Let me tell you who Jesus is. Is that right? Yeah, she goes to her friends and tells them about Jesus. These are gifts for all believers. The fourth role that Paul talks about is the pastors. These are people who have a heart and a sensitivity to care for people and shepherd them. These are people who actually like to hear about your problems because they care about it. Now, some of us, I won't say some of you, because this is one of my ministry gifts, but sometimes we tell someone about the things that we care deeply about, and they just don't care. Or maybe you're the person that doesn't care. But some of us have gifts as pastors, and we have a deep sensitivity to the hearts and the needs of people. And the fifth one here are teachers. And these are people who have an ability to make scripture or spiritual things very easy for others to understand. And some of you might be looking at this list and you're like, well, I'm not any of those things. I'm not good at telling people about Jesus. I'm not prophetic. But these are gifts that we grow in. And the closer we get to God and the more we invest in our relationship with God, the more these become evident in our lives. And it's not something that we have to work at. It's something that's a gift. It says Christ himself gave the apostles, prophets, he gave these things as gifts to us. And I believe that every believer has a tendency toward one of these ministry gifts, because in verse 12, Paul says that these gifts are to equip the people of God for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Can I tell you that Christ's intent for the church was never that the pastor would do all the work, okay? Lucky for me. Christ's intent for the church was never that you'd have one person that would be doing all the work of the church. And I think it's very important that we work together with our ministry gifts. And it's funny because, you know, some of you guys call me Pastor Kelly, and you don't have to call me Pastor Kelly, but you can. But no one would be like, oh, Evangelist Gordon, how are you doing today? You know, this whole thing. Or, oh, Prophet Lindsay, how are you? So for some reason, we have this title of pastor, and everything else is kind of like weird. But it's clear here that Christ intended all of these to work together. Why? Because it will equip the church to do the work of the kingdom. That means that all of us work together to minister together. And I believe that if we want to see this city changed, we all have to be a part. If we want to see the west side of Paris changed for the glory of God, we all have to do our part and fulfill the role that Christ has called us to fulfill. So verse 13, Paul goes on and he says, let me finish the verse in front of that. I lost it. There it is. To equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So what does that mean? That means my sensitivity to what Christ has entrusted me with means an attaining of the fullness of Christ for the church at large. That means when I serve beyond myself, it pays dividends for the entire church. And Paul mentions three things here. He mentions unity. We all reach unity in the faith. He mentions the knowledge of Christ. And he mentions maturity. Unity happens because all of us have our eyes on the same goal. Can I tell you, if you're serving the church to bring glory to yourself, you're not part of the team. You're part of your own team. And it's really annoying to everybody else. Okay? But when we're all working together and we're serving together with our eyes on the same goal, unity happens in the body. And it's a beautiful thing. This is one of the most unified churches I've ever been a part of. We don't have the troublemakers and the little gossip talky people, and we don't want them. So if you're one of them, you know, don't be like that. But these roles are together, and as we serve together, these things begin to happen in our church. We begin to gain unity with one another. I sense it in worship. I don't know if you sense it, but I sense a great unity in the faith when we worship together. We gain a greater knowledge of Christ as we serve one another. Christ modeled to us being servants to one another. So when we practice that one another, we become more like Christ. Verse 14, Paul goes on to say, the result of this is that we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. How many of you have ever heard a teaching about the Bible and you hear it and you're like, I don't know about that? If you haven't ever had that, then you probably haven't been a Christian for long. Because once you've been a Christian for about 5 minutes, you start to hear a lot of different opinions about what the Bible means and this kind of stuff. But what Paul is saying is that when we're all functioning in our gifts and growing together, then we can't be tossed back and forth by deceit. We understand the heart of God, and we begin to recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit. Psalm chapter 1, the very first part of the very first psalm, says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That means that we know the Bible. We've read the Bible. We have a habit of reading the Bible, and we strive to understand it. We meditate. We think about the Bible. We think about the Word of God day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. We need to grow in our faith so that we're not swayed by every opinion of the Bible that comes our way. We need to grow deep roots like a tree that's planted by the water. But can I tell you that you can't grow deep roots unless you stay by the stream of water that is the Word of God? And for some of us in our Christian lives, we've been Christian for a long time, but we haven't ever grown deep roots. And I want to say today that there might be some of you here today that have a reoccurring sin issue in your life. And when you're dealing with a reoccurring sin issue, it's really hard to grow deep roots because you kind of have to keep dealing with this sin issue over here and batting it away from you. God wants you to have freedom from reoccurring sin issues in your life. You can have freedom, and you can have it today, okay? God wants you to grow deep roots. God wants you to have freedom from the things that are reoccurring issues in your life. We have to be anchored in Christ. Verse 15, he goes on to say this, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. The key word here is Paul says, we will grow. We will grow to resemble Christ. Now, the truth is that growth looks different for everyone, but the ultimate goal is forward motion. So if you're here today and you're not a Christian at all, growth is going to look really different for you than it's going to look for someone that's been a Christian for 50 years, okay? If you're here and you've only been a Christian for a year and you're still trying to figure out what some of these words mean, no one expects you to grow at the same pace of someone who's been a Christian all their life. But as long as all of us are committed to growing together, we're going to grow into a strong and healthy church. When I say I've been working out, I mean like in general in my life. I don't mean like in the last couple weeks, because there's this like black hole between like the 10th of December and the end of the month when no one works out. And if you do, I don't want to hear about it. I really love lifting weights. That's my favorite thing to do when I exercise. And there's this whole thing where when you first start lifting weights, you can increase the weight really quickly. You get strong really quickly. So I can go in there, and every time I go, I'm adding more weight. But if you've been lifting weights for like a really long time, you can't increase the weight as quickly because you're lifting really heavy weights, okay? And it's harder to see growth there than it is to see growth when you first start. Or if you ever tried to lose weight, if you lose like the first 10 pounds, it comes off really easy and you're like, yeah, that's great. And then you have a really skinny friend that's like, oh, I just can't lose that last 5 pounds. Growth looks different for everyone, okay? Growth looks different for everyone. And you might have been a Christian for a long time and you see someone else growing in their faith and you go, man, why won't God talk to me the way they talk to that person? Or why hasn't God healed my body the way he healed that person's body? Or that person prayed for a baby and God gave them a baby. Why won't God give me a baby or a spouse or whatever it is? And we start to focus on someone else's growth and someone else's path and the gift God has given someone else instead of focusing on the way that God is growing us in this season. God wants you to grow. Our growth in Christ together will cause us to become a body that is an accurate representation of Christ. And it's important to note in this verse that Paul talks about speaking the truth in love. Paul kind of like slides that in there slightly, you know, speaking the truth in love. And the truth is that we can't be a healthy body unless we bring loving correction to one another. A healthy tree cannot grow with diseased roots. And that means we have to open ourselves up to loving correction from our brothers and sisters. And I've heard people say before, you know, what I do in my personal life is between me and God. That's none of your business. And it's true that it's none of my business. But if you want to grow in Christ, you'll make it the business of your brothers and sisters, or you'll make it the business of one of your pastors, or you're not going to grow because you won't have accountability in your life. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can't grow in secrecy. You can't grow deep roots by trying to deal with disease in your roots by yourself. You have to have the body of Christ to come around you, to bear you up, and to help you grow. I want to encourage you, as we come into a new year, as we come into a fresh start, is there a diseased root in your life? Is there something in your life where you need to dig in and get that diseased root out of there so that you can grow into who Jesus wants you to be? And maybe that diseased root is so deep and so far down that you don't think it's possible that you'll ever be able to deal with it. But can I tell you that Jesus didn't say that he brought abundant life so that you would have to live as a prisoner to the sin in your life? Every one of us on the leadership team, every one of us on the staff, everyone on the board, all of us at some point have had to dig diseased roots out of our lives. We want to help you. We want to come alongside you because we want this church to grow. And if all of us are healthy, the church is going to grow. And I don't know about you, but I want to see freedom brought to the west side of Paris. And that means that we have to be a healthy church to be used of God to do that. We can't have growth as a church unless we're all in it together. So verse 16, Paul wraps up by saying, from him, from Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Paul is clear here that the growth comes from Christ, not from our own efforts. When I grew up in church, and when I was a teenager, it was like a really big deal to do your devotions, you know, read your Bible and pray every day. And this became a thing for me where if I missed a day, I felt like so racked with guilt and so horrible that I didn't do it the next day because I thought God was mad at me or this whole thing. But I put in a lot of effort. And I thought if I worked really hard to read my Bible and pray, then I would kind of earn God's favor, or I would earn more love from God. But the truth is that growth is a gift of grace in our lives. Growth is a gift of grace. And the closer we get to Jesus, the more he draws us to himself, and we want to spend time in his presence. I've heard pastors talk about their, like, 5-hour prayer meetings. And that sounds horrible to me. I don't know about you guys, but like a 5-hour prayer meeting every day, man, if that's what it takes to be a pastor, then you're gonna have to find a new one. But it became this thing where I started trying to work really hard at it instead of just enjoying the relationship between myself and Jesus. Paul says in the Bible to pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean that you quit your job and ignore your family and build yourself a prayer closet and pray 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's not what that means. That means that we engage in an ongoing conversation with Jesus constantly. That means when you're laying in bed at night and you're worrying about things that you can't control, you take it to the Lord laying there in your bed. God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I just need you to give me peace. That means when you wake up in the morning, you go, man, I'm sick of the winter in Paris. It's still dark outside at 9 a.m. But God, thank you for giving me a new day. And the whole rhythm of your life becomes submitted to Christ. That's a gift of grace in our lives. God doesn't require manic effort of us for us to build a relationship with him. He's already there. He's already there waiting for us. He just wants to spend time with us. It's like a relationship between a child and their parent. The parent wants to see that child grow and be healthy and grow into a healthy adult. But the effort doesn't matter to the parent because the parent loves the child. They want to spend time with them. They want to invest in their lives. I believe that we are a really special church. And I think all of us are here for such a limited time. And it's incredible the opportunity that we get to invest in the story of the Bridge. I have all these friends on Facebook that have been at the Bridge in the past, and seeing them kind of come together at different times, I'm like, all of us are part of this church that's almost 8 years old, and there are very few people that have been here that entire time. I know Sheila has, Iselt and Christoph are some of our like pillars that have been here for years, but most of us, people like Cuckoo, we come in and we serve, and then we go. And we believe somewhere in our heart that God would have us invest ourselves into this body for this time. And we know that God has given each of us the opportunity to effect eternity here on the west side of Paris. We've had people come through this church that have had their lives changed for eternity, who have converted to Christianity, who have then married another Christian, who are raising their children in the Christian faith because of the relationships they formed at this church. And we all get to be a part of it. And I'm so excited about that. Each of us has this opportunity, and each of us gets to be a part of it. So as we prepare to close today, I want to give you a challenge as we head into the new year. Kuviat, you can come. One thing that my church that I grew up in, every year the pastor encouraged us to pray and ask God to give us a verse for the coming year. Just to seek God and see if he had a verse to lay on our heart for the coming year. And so a couple of weeks ago in our staff meeting, I encouraged our staff to do that. And for me, over the last couple of years, instead of doing a verse, I've done a word. And I've asked God to give me a word to focus on for 2018. And I feel like the word God has given me for 2018 is the word cultivate. And I feel like that's a word for my own life, and I feel like it's a word for this church. And I was kind of bummed that cultivate was my word, because cultivate is about tilling the soil. Cultivate is about preparation. You know, I was hoping my word would be like eat or, you know, fun or something like that. There's a rogue child. She's very proud of herself. but I feel like the word God has given me is cultivate. And I believe that that's a word for this church. And what the word cultivate means is that I believe that in 2018, we as a church are going to be in a season of preparation. I believe that we're going to be in a season of preparing healthy soil. And the word cultivate frustrates me because I don't like preparation. I like the harvest. I like the end result. If you ask anyone on the staff, they can tell you, I don't care about your process. I want to see the end result. I don't care about the details. But cultivation is all about preparation and laying the soil and preparing for a move of God and positioning ourselves to be in a place that when God releases in us what he wants to do, we're ready for it. I believe that that is the season that God has the church in for the next year, and for myself as well. But I want to take just a moment to allow you to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And maybe when I throw out this idea of a word of the year or a verse of the year, you immediately know what it is. And maybe for some of you, God will tell you tomorrow. God will tell you in February. But I believe that each of you, God has something he wants to do in your life in this next year. And it's different than what God wants to do in my life. But I want to say to you, in case you haven't heard it before, God loves you enough to be personally invested in your life and in your relationship with him. And I believe that as we seek God and we ask God to give us a word or give us a verse, that God is going to be faithful to tell you what direction and what plan he has for you in 2018. So I want you to take a moment and think about that. And I also want you to take a moment to think about those roots that we talked about. What are some things you need to build into your life to assure that your roots are healthy? And maybe it's that you need to deal with a diseased root that you've been dealing with for too long. I just want you to take a moment and focus, and in about 2 minutes, I'll come back up and close the service. Before I close in prayer today, I just want to ask you to stand with me. And part of the joy of a fresh start tomorrow is that it reflects for so many of us the fresh start that God gave us when we chose to turn our life over to Christ, when we chose to submit our hearts to him, surrender to his way for our life. So I just want you to close your eyes this morning. And if you're here today and you want today to mark a fresh start and you'd like to make a decision today to follow Jesus, I would love for you to raise your hand so I can pray with you today. If you'd like to make a fresh start in your life and become a follower of Jesus, just go ahead and raise your hand. I'm not going to call you up front or embarrass you. Father, we thank you so much for the gift of a new start tomorrow as we celebrate a new year. God, I pray for each one of these here that you would reveal yourself to them in fresh and new ways in the year ahead. God, that you would speak to each heart with a word or a verse that you want them to focus on. And I pray, God, that you would give us the courage to dig out those diseased roots and that you would make us strong and healthy. Build us together into a beautiful representation of your Son. Father, we want to see life come to the west side of Paris. We want to see freedom come to the lives of those on the west side of Paris. And we pray that you would release this through us as we grow closer to you. Father, I pray for each one of these here that they would find you in new ways in the coming year. God, we celebrate what you have done in our lives in 2017, and we look forward and celebrate what you're going to do in our lives and in this church in 2018. We love you so much, Father. We thank you for this fresh start. And God, I pray for each one here that you would bring great joy as we celebrate tonight and that you would keep each one safe. Thank you, Father. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to get in touch or find out more about the Bridge International Church, please visit our website.